B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boston down one, trying to pull off the win of the year. Smart holding it. Bounce pass in. Kyrie's got it. Turns with a left-hand dribble in the paint. Crazy runner. No good, and the ball game is over.
Wow.
Last month in Orlando, Kyrie Irving didn't get the ball in that situation and wasn't happy about it. Tonight, he gets it, but his runner bounces out, and the Bucks have survived. There is conversation going on after the whistle. Marcus Morris was very upset. Obviously, a lot of stuff goes on away from the ball in those final second situations, but Marcus Morris is furious.
Yeah.
It came into Kyrie. He came down the left side.
Ooh,
he
there did was get some bumped. Content.
Yeah, he got bumped. Marcus Morris got a rebound, but Kyrie, he got past Giannis, jumped in the paint, and Bledsoe's been playing physical all night. Hit him pretty good. But the Celtics do not get the call at the buzzer on the road, and the Bucks survived by the thinnest of NBA margins. The final score, Milwaukee 98, Boston 97.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Friday. It's an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com. Agenda-free Friday means everything is on the table, and we had planned, and we still plan to do a lot of Celtics from last night, a lot of Bruins from the trade deadline, a lot of other things from this week, and we will continue to mix in and do a lot of that stuff today. And so we still played the final call in Milwaukee last night to help set that up, because I know that's going to be Big Jim Murray's opening thought. But
nah, not anymore.
No, not anymore?
No, not with the news of the day. But
still want you to do it, because here's the deal with the Robert Kraft news. The station doesn't want us taking calls on it. Okay? So we're not taking your calls on Robert Kraft. They don't trust you. They barely trust us. Never mind trusting you.
Good point.
So we're not taking calls on Robert Kraft. We'll talk about it. We'll give you the very latest. We'll give you our thoughts on it. We'll do it right now, in fact, and we'll do it throughout the day. But if we're not getting any reaction to it, I'm doing other things throughout the course of the day. We're still going to do Celtics. We're still going to do Bruins. We're still going to do this other stuff. So stuff it, Murray. I still want to hear your Celtics thought. But first on Kraft. If you haven't heard, Kraft is being charged with misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution after police said Friday he was twice videotaped paying for and receiving sex at an illicit massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida. Police in Jupiter said that the 77-year-old Kraft has not been arrested. A warrant will be issued and his attorneys will be notified. The charge comes amid a widespread, I'm reading from ESPN.com, a widespread crackdown on sex trafficking in the area surrounding Palm Beach County. About 200 arrest warrants have been issued in recent days, and more are expected. Police said that they planted undercover cameras in targeted massage parlors and videotaped the interactions between men and the female employees. Okay. Robert Kraft, through a spokesman, has denied all illegal activity. His statement from his spokesman read, quote, "We categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity. Because it is a judicial matter, we will not be commenting further." That's where we stand. I have three takeaways on it. One is that piece about the videotape and Kraft still denying it. That to me is, wow. I mean, I know how the Patriots handle things. I just know from the sporting world, you know, how they've handled the various legal entanglements when it comes to the NFL. They, you know, deny, accuse was how they handled Deflategate. And so that's a strong denial. If there's videotape, and the police down in Jupiter said there's videotape from inside the facilities where Kraft is videotaped with money and the sex acts. I mean, so that fascinates me. Either they don't have him, he didn't do it, or his lawyer's coming out strong and they'll backpedal or something. I don't know. There's both those things can't be true.
Sure.
They can't have video of it and have him cold, and it can't be that he did no illegal activity whatsoever. It's one of those two, so that sets up a sort of interesting legal thing. That's just, in terms of the case, what I find interesting. The second part is, and really how it affects us, is, you know, what's the worst case for him and his Patriots ownership? And I think precedent has been set with other owners who've gotten into trouble off the field, if you will. Jim Irsay is one people have brought up, and I think that's a fair comp. He was suspended 6 games and fined $500,000 after he was arrested on drug charges. So we can debate whether this rises to that level. It's worse. It's not as bad. Whatever. But those are the kind of penalties that Robert Kraft would be facing, and I think he'll be facing them.
Yeah, and I think Adam Schefter actually is reported at this stage that he expects that there would be some sort of disciplinary action.
So
there's actually audio of it in the system already, but
we don't need
just,
it.
I'm just passing that along.
So that's what he said. So even if Kraft is exonerated legally, he's still subject to some league discipline because he brought the league into disrepute and et cetera, et cetera. So what is that punishment? What form does that take? And I don't think it will or should be draft picks because precedent has been set on this ownership stuff. I don't think it's going to rise to the level of having to sell your team like Jerry Richardson, who had years and years of workplace mistreatment of people. This is different. This is not in the workplace. So I think you might be looking at a suspension for Robert Kraft, whether he's guilty or innocent. The third thing is just a sort of a salacious thing that Adam Schefter did also report, that there's a list of people who are rung up in this. And Robert Kraft is not the most prominent name on the list. He's not the most prominent name on the list. What? It's hard to get a name more prominent than Robert Kraft. So how do you get more prominent than Robert Kraft? I mean, you can, but what are we talking about here? So I don't mean to make light of the situation, but I know you're all doing it, and I did it too. I'm not going to give you my list on the air, but I got a list of guys I think it could be.
Sure.
Okay?
I did the same thing.
Let's see it then. Let's see it.
Well, no, I didn't actually write the list.
Write it. Murray, write yours down, and then when that name comes out, we'll see if any of us got it.
Okay.
Okay?
I mean, I have names in my head, so yeah, I'll jot them down.
Yeah, just jot them down.
We'll compare and contrast.
I jotted mine down.
Okay.
Okay? Robert Kraft's not the most prominent name on the list? Like, what? All right, so, I mean, I think that covers it, unless you want to, is there anything you want to weigh in on?
No. No, I mean, look, again, it's a, you know, it's a juicy story for people in a lot of ways. It feels like best case scenario for the Patriots at this stage in Kraft, really. It feels best case scenario is embarrassment.
I mean, right. It's, if nothing else, it's embarrassing in the short term and long, and it's embarrassing to having this day.
But so we, you know, but in terms of the grander scope of it, this is one that I think we're going to have to wait until the layers are peeled off and understand exactly what the heck happened.
Yeah.
But I thought the same thing you did about, boy, if there's video, then that's a pretty emphatic denial. The same thought crossed my mind. And so we'll see how that one shakes out.
Well, like it is in a case with anything with video, you can't talk it away, you know, once there's evidence like that. And look, if it's true, I can't help but think this. What is a guy of your means and status doing in a place like that? Like, use better discretion.
Yeah, that's sort of something that stands out to people as well. But, you know, we will continue with our thoughts, developments as they happen. We will bring them to you. But we're not doing that 24/7 all day. You know, I'm sorry, we're just not. I want to weigh in on the Celtics. I still want to weigh in on the Bruins. I still want to do our show. And so we'll hit on this all day long. Again, the station doesn't want to take your calls on it, so we're not going to take your calls on it. And that's that. So, Murray,
all right, yeah, no, I'm ready to go.
Okay, can I get your Celtics
take? Please, yeah. No, I've lost all faith in this group in regard to getting out of the East after last night's game in Milwaukee.
Oh, so that's it? It's over?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not getting to the finals.
That's a hot take?
They're not. Milwaukee's flawed, but there's numbers that speak to how they play on the road and specifically against this team, and certain players that speak to reoccurring issues with this Celtics team that aren't going to change between now and when they eventually lose to Milwaukee in the second round of the playoffs. Now, they're now 2-8 on the road against teams that are .500 or better, so they're not good against the, you know, the best teams in the league on the road. Marcus Smart's horrendous shooting, 1 of 5 last night from 3, 2 of 8 from 2. And the threes, he's never going to stop shooting them. That's not going to change. The most confident shooter in the league, despite the fact he really can't shoot.
That's great.
And then the most important thing, it's Terry Rozier. Terry, I'm a starter Rozier in Milwaukee, stinks. Last night, 0 for 4 from 3, 2 for 8 from 2. But if you go back to the 3 complete no-shows in the first round last year, this is where it's concerning.
It's a good point, Murray.
So I had to go look this up because I remember he sucked on the road in Milwaukee in that first round last year. Game 3, you know what, I won't go through all of them. Here's the most important thing. 35 points combined in the 3 road games. Game 3, Game 4, Game 6. 35 points combined in nearly 104 minutes played. He can't elevate his game on the road. in big moments. It's now proven, especially in Milwaukee. That's not going to change. So when Kyrie Irving is checked out like he is last night, especially defensively, he shoots 9 for 27 and then decides, oh, you know what, now I'll try late in the game. You need Terry Rozier to step up his game. He can't, especially on the road. And so the way that this looks, they're going to probably end up 4-5 seed. You're going to be on the road in that second round, and you're probably going to have to face Milwaukee again. And it's just not going to change. And another thing, too, that really bugged me about last night's game.
Can you save the second thing?
Sure. Yeah. But just more than anything else, it's about Terry Rozier. So people don't want to make the case for Terry Rozier. We don't need Kyrie Irving. We can, you know, let's actually sign Terry Rozier to a deal this summer when he's up. And he's going to be the replacement for Kyrie. He proved again last night in Milwaukee, he can't do it. He's not the guy.
More of the Celtics coming up. Maz, your opening thought.
So I just wanted to follow up on Nick Cafardo. Obviously, yesterday we learned just after we came off the air that he had passed away down in Florida. And so I was home last night reading a lot of things, like a lot of different people. I knew Nick a long time. And a couple of things struck me about the whole Nick Cafardo story. And so number one is when I was looking at Twitter last night, I saw tweets on Nick's praising Nick for who he was from Major League Baseball, the Major League Baseball Players Association, the mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh, the Mass State Police, Scott Boras, not to mention a lot of different players who Nick covered over the years. And so to me, that should tell you two things. One, that they respected the guy. And two, the other thing I take from it, I give a lot of them credit. In our business, no matter how good a person you are, you're going to butt heads. And so I give credit to a lot of the people out there for acknowledging that at the end of the day, we're all going to end up in the same place. And so, I just thought it was nice for people to stand up. And from what I understand, the Baltimore Orioles sent a gift over to the press corps today at Fenway Park to sort of acknowledge that they had lost someone in that group. The Red Sox put roses on Cafardo's chair this morning in the press box down at Fenway Park. And the Reds, Alex Cora talked only about Cafardo in his press briefing today, would not take questions about the team. And so, just a very sort of subtle tip of the cap, all of those people for acknowledging a guy that we are.
And so we spent some time on this yesterday. Again, a big loss for all of us who are involved in sports in Boston. Nick was a huge figure as it relates to that. And anyone who came across him knows what kind of person he was, a truly gentle soul. And a good guy, and that's a cliche, but he truly was that. And obviously, continuing, deepest condolences and prayers to the Cafardo family. So we wanted to weigh in on that as well. We're going to break now and get to your phones right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
I have a lot of takeaways on Celtics Bucks last night. Here's number one. Quit crying about the refs. You were lucky even to get the last shot. They botched that tip ball there. They botched the jump ball. Botched it. The rule is that the 24-second clock does not start until the second touch. It doesn't start on the tip. It starts when the team on that end of the floor possesses the ball or touches the ball. Okay? That's the rule, which the ref confirmed after the game. Referee Mike Callahan said the 24-second clock didn't start until Lopez possessed the ball. That's the rule. Okay? When he possessed the ball, you cannot have a legal shot attempt with 0.2 on the clock. Then he was asked, can you tip it with 0.2 on the clock? And Callahan said, yes. He didn't tip it. He possessed it. Wrong. He absolutely tipped the ball. He did not hold the ball. You never even should have gotten the last possession before you start crying about Middleton holding Marcus Morris, which is the second thing I'll tell you to stop crying about here in a second. But first of all, Jimmy, when does that two-minute report come out from the NBA?
Should be out any minute, really.
Yeah, usually right around now, yeah, in the afternoon.
I'm curious how they address that, because that's the only thing the Bucks could do, and they actually did it. The 24-second clock does not start on the tip. It starts on the first touch if that team shooting at that end gets it. Lopez did not touch it for more than 2 points, or he tipped it, which you're allowed. Tips are allowed with 0.1 or 0.2 on the clock. That was a tip. He did not hold it. He did not shoot it. They blew it. The refs blew it, luckily giving you another possession. So you never even should have had the ball on the last possession. Sorry. Or you shouldn't have had it with 3.5 anyway, you know, because they blew the whistle and the buzzer went off. And was it Brogdon who missed the follow? And so, you know, I don't know. Like, the NFL, you would have had to gone back and recreated what it was. But that should have been a live ball there. And the refs blew it. You're lucky. You're lucky you even got the last shot on the last shot. Marcus Morris was definitely held. Definitely held. Should have been a foul. Except, has anyone mentioned the fact? And I watched the whole NBC Sports Boston Post game last night. I hope you guys are doing okay after spending an hour on the refs. I'm going to send a wellness checkup for the folks at NBC Sports Boston. My God, that post game show. What happened in the game? I don't even know. I'm too busy talking about the refs. Was it mentioned in the whole hour, Drapes, that the Celts weren't in the bonus? Unless I have this wrong. The Bucks had only 2 personal fouls in the quarter. I don't think they had any in the last 2 minutes. And unless I have this wrong, even if they had called that foul on Middleton on Marcus Morris, it's side out. You're not on the line. You're right back where you are inbounding the ball, right?
No, I think that's right. Unless they consider it in the act of shooting, which, you know,
the ball wasn't even inbounding.
Well, so right. I'm just saying, you know, that if they deem it, like, I don't know how it would work on an alley-oop, right?
Where that foul occurred, him holding him coming off the screen, Marcus Smart had not even released the ball on the sideline yet. That's not a shooting foul, is it?
No, I don't think so either.
They weren't in the bonus.
No, I don't think so either. And again, honestly, to me, all of that stuff, like, I look at it and say, sorry, man, you get whatever position you put yourself in, that's what you get.
Just the local coverage of it is so, like, really, guys? You spent the whole post game on that. Did anyone mention that it's not a, they would just be side out again, even if they called it? Never mind the fact that Kyrie Irving might have committed a moving screen.
He did.
On Middleton, even before Middleton grabbed Marcus Morris?
Shoulder in the chest.
Okay, so, like, you can play that game if you want, but you never even should have had the ball because they screwed up the tip. They screwed up the tip play. Okay? So that's just on the refs. I think the Celtics are a better team, and the Celtics beat the Bucks in a 7-game series. I mean, that's outside of what happened in the game, but the officiating stuff is freaking embarrassing. I mean, it really is. The way you guys cover that stuff is just a joke.
I mean, I look at it and say, to me, the Celtics lost me last night because I never even once, the officiating never crossed my mind. And I know it did with other people. But to me, how do you give up a wide open three to Chris Middleton with 30 seconds left? How do you give that up? To me, that's the one guy that scared me on the floor more than anybody. I'm like, don't give that guy any space. Don't let him get the ball. That guy can shoot. He can shoot the lights out. And he did last year in the playoffs at times. And I saw that and said, you're going to leave that guy open? Somebody didn't rotate out on him? Of all people, Chris Middleton's the guy you're going to leave out there. What a mistake.
Okay, so those are some Celtics thoughts for you. We continue to, we will roll in your calls, and we'll keep you updated on Robert Kraft and that story as developments dictate. Mike and Wakefield, lead us off on the Celts. Go ahead.
Felga, repeat after me. Audi. Audi.
I can't do it.
Audi.
Audi. Audi. Okay.
All right, good. Good job. All right, so Kyrie, oh boy. I don't know what gets me going more. The fact that he missed the final shot to lose the game, or the fact that the play wasn't even drawn up for him to begin with. You know, this guy, he can't play system basketball. He can't play as a team. It's all me. Now, I know Marcus Morris basically got tackled on that play. But still, it's just further proof that he just doesn't fit here.
Okay, so let me stop. What's worse, Kyrie's shot attempt? Or the fact that the play was really drawn up for Marcus Morris?
The shot attempt was worse. I mean, the play would have worked. It would have worked.
You know, no, it's that the play was drawn up for Morris. Come on.
I don't know.
I'm not even sure of that. Brooke Lopez is defending the inbounder. Who knows if Marcus Smart could even see or had a clear path to throw it underneath the basket. And Giannis is standing there in the lane, too. So I'm not even sure of that.
So when you say the shot attempt, I'm not upset that Kyrie got the ball. I'm just telling you that the shot he ended up taking.
Should have given up to Horford, who was wide open on the wing.
Nah, I had no problem with him taking the
shot. See, I want the ball in his hands at the end of the game.
And not the Kyrie.
I live on that, for crying out loud. I preach that one. That's the whole reason you have him. you know, and he made some big ones at the end of the game. So ideally, would I like the ball to go to him and then figure it out? Yes, I would.
Jimmy, how do you feel about the play being drawn up for Marcus Morris?
Terrible. Why do you have Kyrie Irving then if you're just going to draw up a play for Marcus Morris? Kyrie Irving, 3.5 seconds left. Get the ball to him and let him do something. It can be something off a screen for an open shot. It can be just hand the ball to him. He's got two dribbles. Take a shot. Win the game.
Okay, this whole
thing. It's not that hard.
This whole narrative that you somehow got robbed. You were not in control of that ball game. The last lead you led in the second quarter, and then you took a one-point lead with, like, I can't even remember, 2 to 3 minutes left on a Kyrie three.
That's right.
But pretty much the entire rest of the game, you were down. You were never in control of that game.
Other than real early.
Yeah, no. You were up 11 in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Okay, so I said, after the second quarter, you were trailing. And not prohibitively so, but you were trailing the whole game. Morris absolutely got held coming around that screen. Absolutely. You shouldn't even have the ball in the first place if they had called the tip right on the other end. Nino and Revere. Go ahead, Nino.
Nino.
Yes, it's you. Go.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Nino. What do you got?
Hey, so first of all, let me say this. You guys, we talk about the Celtics, we talk about Kyrie, we talk about what they do. First of all, this is a team that's trying to refine the camaraderie. So last night's game doesn't mean a whole lot to me. What means something to me is that you guys and everybody else in Sports Talk Radio is trying to create drama and almost destroying the Kyrie Irving that we are known to love.
Okay, first thing. We are peddling in drama. Yes, no question about it. The NBA gives us plenty of material, Nino, and we embrace it. So it starts with the way that league has gone with its personnel. I don't think anyone here is trying to destroy the Celtics or the Kyrie Irving thing. I think there's things about him that rub us the wrong way, that rub fans the wrong way, and so we reflect that.
I mean, how many times have I said I want him here? Kiss his ass?
How'd you feel about his game last night?
Awful. Awful. And more importantly, like, honestly, it's not even the shots going in, although, boy, he was brutal. That's as bad as I've ever seen him shooting the ball, at least with the Celtics. I can't remember another game like that. But the other part, he didn't look interested for most of the game anyway. He heated up at the end. He seemed a little more locked in at the end. Obviously, that long three, like, there were moments where I said, okay, here you go. Now he's into it. But for a good chunk of that game, oh, man, he was not into it at all. He was not interested. And I hope this is just residual from all the stuff at the All-Star weekend and that it goes away. But I fear that he has said, that's it. You know, I'm done. I'm not staying here anyway, and he's going to half-ass it. Because that's what it looked like.
He looks like a disgruntled employee.
I just noticed him walking back on defense.
Sure,
several times last night.
A lot.
You know, there's a couple times where he had the miss or he had the turnover, and he walked back. This was the first half. In the second half, he engaged more. But in the first half, I noticed this, and then I was glad. I read the Globe game story. It was edited out of the final version. But the Himmelsbach running game story, that's what you call in the newspaper business, when you file right after the game and has more first half play-by-play in it. Himmelsbach wrote, "It did not help the Celtics that Irving had what was likely his worst half of the season. He made just 1 of 10 shots, had just 1 assist, no rebounds, and just generally appeared to lack interest in being on the court."
Absolutely. All true. All true. And again, I'll tell you what, I didn't even realize no rebounds and 1 assist. Now, look, it was a horrid half all the way around. The Bucks didn't play great either. I mean, there was a stink bomb of the highest order. But to me, the big one, the body language. Just watch him, like, jog back, if that. And it was a half jog getting back on D. He did not want to be out there in the first half last night.
Okay, the latest on Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who is being charged with misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution today down in Florida. This story is developing. The very latest comes your way right here in the update, and then we're back with your thoughts on an agenda-free Friday. We're talking about that and everything else.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
You have been on record in the past about being reluctant to commit to players 30, pitchers in particular, 30 or older, the John Lester situation. You then later signed David Price. Is it fair to say that, you know, your thinking on that has evolved a little bit, or does Chris fall out of the norm for you and isn't as big a risk?
I think Chris falls out of the norm because he's just such a great, not just a great pitcher, but a great part of the team. As we saw in the World Series, he had quite an impact just being on the bench of the World Series. So he's a special player. We would love to be able to sign him. I think he would like to as well. But there are the realities of the marketplace and budgets, and this is his opportunity to be a free agent, so potentially, which we'd like to avoid, but I think he would as well, so something could happen.
Is everything you just said sort of applied to John Lester a few years ago?
I think we blew the John Lester, we blew re-signing him in spring training, so for reasons that are pretty apparent now, which I won't go into, but they're apparent.
All right, it's Agenda Free Friday. We know the Kraft news. We're aware of it. We are updating it as it happens. We're just not going to let. We're just not going to do the whole show on it. Okay, so we're going to do a regular Agenda Free Friday with everything on the table from the week, and so. The Red Sox is one of them. To me, the lead Red Sox item from the week, Mass. And oh, by the way, we had an update on the last 2 minutes in Milwaukee last night as well. But the lead Red Sox item to me was that it looks like they're really interested in signing John Lester. They're really interested in signing Chris Sale. And is that then a overreaction to blowing it with John Lester, as you heard John Henry say this week in Fort Myers? You personally are against some re-signing Chris Sale right now, which surprises me.
Yeah, look, I love Sale, but again, the shoulder thing has me worried. And so I would wait. That's all. If I'm the Red Sox, I would wait. Use every bit of time you can use and make sure that the guy's healthy before you commit to him. Because Sale has a history of fading here. And so now you're coming off a season in which he pitched 35 innings, I think it was, in the last 3 months of the year. Like, that has me concerned. Now, do I think they'll do it? Yep. Because look at Dombrowski's history. And I guarantee you Dombrowski's selling Henry on it. Like, look what happened with Lester. You had to go out and sign David Price, and we're okay there now, too. But he's also signed Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, and those guys are chugging along without much problem. Verlander skidded there for a while, but he's back. And so I think the other thing is the Red Sox don't have any other options. How are they going to replace Chris Sale?
Exactly.
They have nobody in the system, and the only other way to do it would be go on the free agent market and spend a bundle.
So he's someone that I take a bet on, that I bet on Chris Sale. And sure, his arm could blow at any point, but so could any pitchers. They're all time bombs, all of them. In terms of his makeup, competitiveness, I'll take a chance on that guy.
And that, you know what? They will. Again, right now, I would wait. I don't know if they can pull that off, but I would wait until All-Star break later in the year, something. I want to see more.
Okay, so there's your Red Sox thought. On the last 2 minutes last night, I said in the first block that the Bucks were not in the bonus, or the Celtics were not in the bonus. So even if they had called the foul on Middleton, on Morris coming around that screen, do you even get foul shots? It would just be another side out, right? No one even mentioned this last night. No one even really addressed it last night. And not that I saw on the NBC Sports Boston postgame show, which is about an hour of crying about the officials. No one mentioned what would have happened there. I thought it would have been a side out. Apparently, Maz got a little birdie who knows the minutia of NBA rules and found this out. Go ahead.
If a defensive player commits a foul before the ball is inbounded in the final 2 minutes of a game, or quarter or overtime. Okay, so obviously this applies. It is ruled to be a, quote, an away from the play foul, and any player in the game on the offended team may attempt one free throw. So the bottom line is, in the final 2 minutes.
So it's sort of, it's basically a technical.
Correct. Yep. And anyone on the floor can take the free throw. So in this case, I just say Kyrie because he's a 90% free throw shooter.
Did you know that rule?
I did not.
Did anyone? They didn't mention it on TNT. I didn't hear it again on the postgame coverage last night.
No, I did not. I did not know it.
And I assume it doesn't say it would have been one and the ball.
Correct.
So that would have been good for you if they had called that.
Absolutely. They'd have been able to tie the game and still had a crack at winning it.
Yep.
Now, but again, honestly, it doesn't change my opinion of the whole thing with the Celtics last night. And so, you know, the ball ended up in Kyrie's hands. He forced what I would call a bad shot, a left-handed runner. But nonetheless, I'm not even that upset with that part of it. The game was tied. 30 seconds left. And they gave up a wide open three to Chris Middleton. Wide open. How does that happen?
Scramble play. They didn't switch well enough. They weren't, you know, they just let it go. But it wasn't like the play got a little funky. I think Giannis lost it at one point, tossed it into the corner, and was sort of being kicked around. I don't know. I mean, they did. They blew it. You don't leave that guy alone. No question about it. But it was kind of a scramble play.
Okay, but still, I look at it, and you know what? To their credit, they said it after the game. I saw Smart talk about it. I think Kyrie even talked about it and said they got rotations mixed up. And so, but Middleton, that's the guy. Someone should be in his shorts at all times. You cannot leave that guy. He's a good player. You know, it felt to me at times they were trying to exploit him on the defensive end, which I'm good with. But on the other end of the floor, he killed them last year in that series.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Phil and Malden, what do you got for us on the Celts?
Yeah, I'm going to comment on Murray's prediction that the Celtics are going to go out in the second round. I don't know what you're smoking, Murray, but we all know how your predictions went in the Patriots playoffs, but if you think they're going out in the second round against the Bucks, you're dreaming.
I was only wrong about the AFC Championship game, and I called the gentleman sweep in the World Series, so apologize.
Yeah.
Here's the issue. Here's the issue with the Celtics. Big picture. They can beat the Bucks. They should beat the Bucks. I told you about the Bucks. They are imperfect, man.
They're an infinitely flawed team. They really are.
They're a hot mess at the end of these games because Giannis is not a closer. He doesn't have, you know, you saw it at the end of the game. Giannis doesn't have a handle yet, okay? And he's not really someone that creates his own shot if he's on the perimeter.
Right, okay? In a half court.
He's got to get the ball down low in the half court or he's got to be in transition.
Right.
Okay, so when he's in transition, he's a freight train. You can't stop him. And if he gets the ball down low, big problems. But when he's got the ball and he's just dribbling out by the three-point line, I mean, how many times did you see it? There were at least a couple times last night where the Celtics switched and Kyrie was on him on the top of the key.
Yeah.
And Giannis didn't back him down because he just can't maneuver there yet. And so at the end of the game, if you can get Giannis off the block and or front him or you know, whatever they were doing, and he gets on the perimeter, it all bogs down.
No, you'll let him shoot all night out there.
Okay, so and you saw that. And I think that the Celtics have more finishers, the Celtics have better shooters, and I like the Celtics over the Bucks in a series.
Mike, they attempted 6 free throws. They shot their worst field goal percentage of the year, and they lost by 1 on the road to the team with the best home record in the league.
Without Hayward, without Baines, with Kyrie Irving having his worst half of the season in the first half, shot 38% to what you just said, and they still, if they get a call there at the end, they could win it.
The most alarming thing to me about that game is not that they lost. I would rather them beat Toronto than beat Milwaukee.
But the point is they deserved to lose last night. I mean, I'm just saying it could have gone either way. But they deserved to lose. The problem is if you're the fourth or the fifth seed, and also if you lose to Toronto next week, if you lose to Golden State the next week after that, if you lose again to the Lakers in LA on national TV on a Saturday night on ABC, if these losses start to build, I think Kyrie Irving's going to pull the plug mentally on the team and say, that's it. I told you we're not good enough. And if you're the fifth seed for sure, now you got 3 road series. I mean, I like you over Philly. I like you over Milwaukee. Do I like you over Philly, Milwaukee, and then Toronto all on the road after you've lost these regular season games and you've had these sort of statement nights that weren't quite good enough? At that point, I wonder where the psyche of the team is. The psyche of the team isn't great now.
No, the most worrisome part of that game to me is how Kyrie looked. And I don't mean the shooting. I mean the attitude. because he looked like he just was not into it in the first half, especially.
If you're at your best,
in fact, I go so far as to say the first three quarters.
I mean, this is what I'm saying. If you're at your best, you're better than Milwaukee. You should beat them. If you're at your best, you're better than Philly. You'll beat them. You've proven that.
Yeah, but still, if Milwaukee has home court, I don't like them in that series.
My point is, I don't know if you can get to your best. You haven't gotten there all year, and you got to start building towards that, and they're not yet building towards that.
Yeah, to me, it was the lifelessness, the relative lifelessness in Kyrie. If that's what you're going to get, they're in big trouble.
Okay, we continue on an agenda-free Friday right after this.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Pendleton, 2-5. No good. The teams are combining for under 19% shooting, and there's a throwaway. Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. And will they cross the line? They do. Morris is dripping with beer. Paxton, Steyer, some Schlitz maybe. Who knows? He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Your Bledsoe with a three. No. Beer is every place. Some of Milwaukee's, the Miller highlight spilled on the floor. Can't think of any more beers.
Oh, my goodness. You are on a ride to tell.
Kyrie with a miss.
You have decompressed in the Turks and Caicos. You are on fire, my friend.
What you're talking about. Brogdon with a three. No. Another miss. 17% combined shooting in this third quarter. Horford, three. No.
Another. How many no's are you going to say in this telecast?
I don't know. Let's spill some more beer. That'll get the crowd going.
Will he get a free one?
I would hope so. We're in the beer capital of the world.
I just play that. Thanks to Jimmy for pulling that from the TNT broadcast. Kevin Harlan. The amazing Kevin Harlan. He's terrific.
He's my favorite, hands down.
What a pig of a ball game last night.
Holy crap, God. It was. It was awful.
It tells you, at this NBA All-Star weekend,
they hit it hard.
Oh, my God. I think those guys get after it. Because they came back, they could barely walk last night.
Especially in the second half, it looked like, I tweeted, I'm like, did these teams eat a turkey dinner at halftime? Like, they looked like they were walking in mud. They were awful.
Right, the first half, okay, rust. And then you thought they'd come out in the third quarter, we'd have a real ball game. It was worse. Unbelievable.
Yeah. The only good part of the game was the finish. You know, it was entertaining, right? There was some stuff there that happened, but the play, that was absolute, like, Newton-wide kind of crap. That was garbage.
Dog food. What are you guys doing over this All-Star weekend? My God. I understand a little bit of rust. The first 10 minutes, the first quarter, I'll give you a half. But holy moly.
No, it went on all night. It was garbage. Absolute garbage. And look, you know, the officials let him play a little bit too. Like, that was a factor. How many free throw attempts total in the game?
Yeah, not many. Not many.
15 or whatever it was.
All right. So anyway, back to your phones on agenda-free Friday, fully aware and monitoring the Robert Kraft situation, but we're doing our show on that and everything else. It's not the only topic today. Pete in Delaware on the Souths last night. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. First of all, Mike, you're absolutely right. They should have never gotten that last play. The refs screwed that up. That being said, can someone please explain to me why Brad Stevens has this thing with Marcus Morris? This guy had 31 minutes last night, was 4 of 12. I got Jaylen Brown plays 24 minutes, only gets 15 points. Maz was saying before that the Jaylen Brown thing may be with Marcus Morris. I'm starting to agree. You cannot give Marcus Morris the ball over Kyrie Irving. That's why Irving is there.
Okay, so those
Preach.
Thoughts. Well, Jaylen Brown I've been down on all year, but he played a nice ball game last night.
No, he was good last night.
Him and Horford were the best two players for the Celtics last night.
No question.
So did the minutes properly reflect that?
No.
No. 24 minutes for Jaylen Brown, as well as he was playing, and his poor handles showed up, but that didn't really cost him the game. Brown was one of their better players. So why 24 minutes, especially when Fortnite Boy isn't playing because he tripped over himself in practice, and Gershon Yebicelli's getting like 5 or 6 minutes that he shouldn't even have in the first place?
I mean, Murray's right. You know, really, again. Now, look, I think Morris has balls, so it doesn't bother me to see him out on the floor at the end of the game.
Should they draw the last play for him?
No.
I told you, and I sort of talked out of both sides of my mouth on this already. I didn't mind the play. I thought the play was there. So I have a hard time second-guessing it when it was there. But as a general rule, I want the ball in Kyrie's hands at the end of the game. I want the ball to go to Kyrie. And then, I didn't love the way that whole thing went down, him throwing up a lefty runner in the paint, you know, with guys draped all over him. That, to me, doesn't qualify as a good shot.
Tony, he's a star. He should get that foul call every time.
Well, so, again, I don't mind him.
Kyrie was not fouled. I don't want to hear that.
No, he wasn't.
It was
please.
Clean.
And at the end of the day, my biggest complaint is that the game was tied with 30 seconds to go, and they gave up a wide-open three to the best shooter on the Bucks. Brutal. That is, you deserve to lose for that alone.
Jeff in Bedford. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, guys. I actually think you want the 4 or 5 seed. You maybe face the Oladipo's Pacers, and then hopefully Milwaukee stays as the first seed. You want them, and then you avoid Philly-Toronto to the last round.
So you want the 5?
Or the 4 seed, 4 or 5, I'm saying. Well, you want to face the Pacers, obviously, the first round. Even if you get the 5 seed, you can beat them. That's not a big deal. And then, you know. They lost their star. They're done, essentially.
Okay, Jeff. I'm sorry to cut you off, but why would you? The 4-5 is the same difference, except you're at home. So why would you say 5? How can you be so that? Are you that? With the way the Celtics have looked and played this year, you're that cavalier about being on the road for 3 straight series?
Yeah, I would want to be at home as much as I can if I'm the Celtics.
What's the matter with you? Have you watched them?
Yeah. As of right now, I like them against Philly because they own Philly if they're the 5 and they play the 4. And then they would lose to Milwaukee in the second round.
Okay, I'm just telling you that for them to all those teams in the East, they should beat all those teams in the East. I'm not convinced that they're going to get to that spot where they're playing their best basketball if they keep losing these games. And the losses mount, and then it sort of settles on them that, oh, maybe we're not that good. I mean, Kyrie Irving is teetering as it is, it looks like. And if they can't get any of these big wins under their belt and show something to themselves and gain confidence in themselves, then I worry about them playing out the string. And if they were the 5 against Philly in the first round, even though you own that ass, I wouldn't rule out Philly winning that series either. Because eventually Kyrie's going to do what LeBron used to do, and that is, well, this ain't good enough. This ain't happening. We'll just shut her down. And I think that's on the table unless you get some wins here.
I mean, I'm as worried about Kyrie right now as I've been all year after watching him go up and down the floor last night. He just was, you know, chucking it up there, missing by a mile. And that's the other thing, too. Like we say, it was a bad shooting night, was it? Or was it part and parcel to his attitude?
Okay, a couple quick things here on Nick Cafardo that we've hit on today and yesterday as well. Derek in Bedford, go please.
Hey, guys. I know you favor brevity from your caller, so I'll make this very quick. One, I'd love to hear as many anecdotes as any of you can share about him. This should be the bigger story than the other one. What a loss. Two, Jim Murray's David Price impersonation, still a national treasure. Okay. And finally, Felger, I know this is your swim lane, and it's Agenda-Free Friday. I'll take the Pepsi Challenge with Colgate 77 as the best eyes and brown-eyed women you'll ever hear.
Okay,
thanks.
There's a little dead thought there from Cornell. Alan in Florida on Nick Cafardo. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I have to tell you, especially you, Maz, very disappointing about Nick Cafardo. I mean, he was a colleague of yours at one time. I mean, you guys are talking about this horrible Celtics team. And,
piss off, I mean, Alan. Seriously, screw you. Give me a break. We talked about it twice yesterday. Maz led off the show with it. We're doing it now, and you're calling and complaining that we're talking about basketball. Please, give me a break. You want a Nick Cafardo anecdote?
So I don't know that I have a singular, like, one story. Shaughnessy had a good one today, though, that was true, and he wrote it in his column. Nick never had money in his wallet. Never. I mean, it was like a thing with him. We'd go out for drinks or whatever after a game, or go out and grab a quick bite after a game. You'd sit there, the bill would come. We'd say, okay, $20 a guy. And Nick would go, all I have is $100. Like, and lie. Because he had like $3 in his wallet. It's like, here we go. We got to carry Nick again. Like at the whole 9 yards. And I can tell you that, you know, just quickly, I was obviously with the Herald. He was with the Globe. We worked together briefly for a period of time many years later. But there were, I can't tell you how many times where, like, we'd go out after the game and, you know, we'd look at the clock and know that final deadline was gone. So this is pre-internet now. So you knew there was nothing you could do if the other guy had broken a story that you didn't have. And so I would look at Nick and go, because I was just starting on the beat then. He had been on it for 15 years. And I would look at him and go, do you have something tomorrow that I'm going to be pissed about? And he would sort of like, yeah, maybe. And I'd be like, you a-hole. Like, you know, and then, okay, you know, give us another round. And it was just that, but that's how it was. And it was never personal with him. Ever, ever, ever. And most guys on that beat, for the it was pretty good for the most part. But you could joke with him like that about, thanks a lot for kicking my ass. Oh, you're going to get me fired.
No question. I had many of those with Nick where, again, his specialty, he was the best at talking to guys that didn't want to talk. Was he an oil can boy? Did he get?
You could pick every scoundrel in Major League Baseball, and Nick liked him. So Albert Bell, like he was with all the bad guys. Nick was good with
them. Well, they all trusted him, and he got exclusives with them, and he was great with the Patriots. But there was a time when Ben Coates wouldn't talk to anyone but Nick. And Terry Glenn was, you know, you couldn't get anywhere near the guy. He loved Nick. He talked to Nick. And so, you know, you just have these times where you go into the locker room, and there's Nick in the corner with Terry Glenn. I'm like, oh, I'm about to get a He got Terry Glenn again, you know, and so that was just, you know, that's what I remember working with him. But then, you know, just a specific anecdote is just, you know, so it's a very competitive environment. You're in that. People don't understand the newspaper business and what that was like back in those days.
Really competitive.
It was even before the sports radio came online. It was, and it were two papers, and it was you and him in a room for an hour, and who comes out with the better story. And it's like, that's the way it was every day. So it was really competitive on that level. And then it would spill over to, you know, sports final with me and him going toe-to-toe on Bledsoe and Brady and all of that. And so it was really competitive between us. And just the way he carried himself when you were out of the room or the day was over and the light turned off. And I was young. I didn't really know. And just, again, how what a mensch he was and how just I've been saying he's a gentle soul. I mean, that's how he carried himself. There was one time even after on sports final where it got really heated, you know, he apologized. Like, what are you talking about? I don't apologize. Let's go. I'll see you next week. But even, like you said, like, you know, maybe we should dial it back a little bit. Or, you know, he even had that element to him that it was unique to him.
Yeah, I thought the world of him, you know, competing against him and working with him for a little while. I thought the world of him. He was a good guy. I mean that sincerely. You know, he was good. And he was the kind of guy that you would look at and go, great, Nick's hitting a story over there. Someone's spilling their guts to Nick. Here we go. And I'm really, I was stunned yesterday when I heard it happen right after we came on the air, and I still don't believe it.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Agenda-free, meaning everything is on the table, okay? The Celtics last night, the Bruins, which I want to give you a quick Bruins minute on, coming up here right after this. The Robert Kraft story is on the table. We're not taking your calls on it, but we'll keep you updated on it. In fact, we'll do it right here, the very latest on the Robert Kraft story with Jim Murray here in the update. No commercials, and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.